All right, so whatever garbage we're dealing with right now here, because the Kings beat the Warriors on Saturday and then lose at home to the Bulls last night after being down 27, that's horrible. We've had our hearts yanked around all year long by this club, hell, for the last decade. It is nothing.
But
they say misery loves company. It is nothing compared to what our next guest, and more importantly, his listeners, are going through. He does sidelines for the Atlanta Falcons radio network. We met him down in Houston. They were next to us, putting up with us all week long. It is John Michaels. John, it's Dave and Nate. How are you? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Not as well as I was last week when we were in Houston. Last week it was a party. We were having a great time. We were going to win a Super Bowl. I'm supposed to be on a parade route right now. Instead, I'm kind of drowning in the misery of a 28-3 collapse in the Super Bowl.
John, I want to ask you, and you're a radio guy, so you're going to understand where I'm coming from here. It's a stupid question, but you're going to get it. From a pure radio host perspective, which would have been better? Them holding on and blowing out the Patriots or this loss last night when it comes to content and activity from your audience?
Honestly, because we've never won anything since I've been here, and I moved to Atlanta in 1998.
Yeah.
This city's so starved for a championship. I think content-wise, it would have been better for a win. Now, it would have gotten repetitive somewhere down the road. It would have turned into, can we repeat talk? And, you know, there have been fans beating their chest. But just knowing what this city has been through, I think for us, it would have been better with a win. The problem is now with the loss, we're going to hear all along that the Falcons are who we thought they were. They were choke artists. They were this, they were that. And it's going to be an offseason of no matter what happens, there's going to be misery around this town.
Well, yeah, one thing you won't have to deal with, though, is second-guessing Kyle Shanahan to his face or anything like that because he's out of town. Is there anyone that's not saying, hey, good riddance, man. Thanks for blowing that one.
I think there are some people that are not saying good riddance because he led the best offense they've ever had. I mean, it's easy to look at, should he have run the ball in the fourth quarter? Hell yes. He should have run the ball in the fourth quarter. Should he have made some things a little bit differently? You know, maybe run a screen or try to get Julio more involved? Hell yes, he should have done all of that. But it's short-sighted to think, hey, Kyle's gone good riddance, and think that the next guy that's going to walk in here is going to be perfect. Dirk Cutter, who was here previous to Kyle, was a really good offensive coordinator. Now the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucs. They went through a growing pain when they transitioned from Dirk Cutter to Kyle Shanahan. So that'll be the first thing on the minds of everybody here. Who do the Falcons go to offensive coordinator-wise? Because obviously now you're behind the eight ball. Bill Belichick, no joy. Bill Belichick said, hey, we're 5 weeks behind everybody else getting ready for the offseason. Well, the Falcons are even more behind the eight ball because now you're not only trying to, you know, recover from what's a devastating loss, but now you're trying to figure out which direction do you move on the offensive side of the ball, and does Kyle take guys with him? Because there's other guys that are up for jobs. Matt LaFleur, our QB coach, going to interview with the Rams, and there was rumors that he would end up going to San Francisco potentially as well.
Well, as we talk to John Michaels from Atlanta, and I know you guys are still very, very early in post-mortem here. Have you even tried to pitch to the fans? And I don't mean that as disingenuous, but have you gone down the road yet of, hey, Matt Ryan's 31, Devontae Freeman's young out of Florida State, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones is 28. They've got some young superstars in the making on defense. Yes, this sucks, but there's no reason to think Atlanta won't be back next year, or are you ready to do that yet?
No, we're not ready for that. I'll be honest, I didn't work yesterday. We flew home from Houston with the team about 11 o'clock Eastern, so I didn't get home until my show was off the air. So I was actually happy to not have to work. So today's my first day back. No way we'll go into that right now. I've already, for myself, going forward in the next couple of weeks, and I guess because Atlanta hadn't been this deep in the playoffs in a while, I forgot free agency starts in a month.
Yep.
So we can get through the next week and a half with the Super Bowl hangover, and then it is going to get into that talk of, hey, they are a very good young team. We've got a ton of pieces in place. You know, we were a fourth quarter collapse away from being a champion right now, and they've got so much cap space available that this team can position themselves to add a couple of guys and be right back here a year from now.
Watching that fourth quarter, John, when did you know that it was bad, this was serious, and the Pats were coming?
You know, honestly, not until you had to punt after that Julio Jones catch, because Julio makes that tremendous
catch. That was amazing.
Catch. at 4:40 to go in the game, I looked at somebody, maybe I'm a jinx, but I don't believe in that stuff. I said, that's the catch they're going to remember because we just won the Super Bowl. Because at the 22-yard line, literally at the 22-yard line, Matt Bryan can blindfold and make that kick. Mm-hmm. You simply could have ran into the line of scrimmage three times, kicked the field goal, and been Super Bowl champions. When they get sacked, completion, yet hold, then incompletion, I said, we're in trouble. Because the defense was gassed. The defense had been gassed in the third quarter. They were completely gassed in the fourth quarter. And I really didn't have any confidence that they'd get the stop. My only hope was on the two-point conversion, you come up with one play,
yeah,
and you get the stop, and then you get an onside kick, and you run out the clock, and you win. Unfortunately, they couldn't do any of that. And then as soon as the coin flipped, I said, this is doom. There, you know, and again, the hope was there. Maybe you hold them to a field goal, but that defense was struggling, and then they get the pass interference in the end zone. I said, this is terrible. And the look on our team's face, I can't even describe. You know, we've been at this as broadcasters since July, so have these guys. And to know how close they were and to look in guys' eyes, and there's tears in their eyes, and, you know, a lot of them are just trying to get off the field. It was really, really painful to watch.
John Michaels on the sidelines for Atlanta during the season, during the game. And, John, to your point right there, as you're looking at these players, did you sense deer in the headlights in the fourth? Did you sense freezing? You don't want to use the word choke necessarily, but did you sense that necks were getting tight?
No, I didn't. You know, Matt makes the throw to Julio where he steps in the pocket and trusts his guy. I didn't feel like they were choking the game away. I never felt like they were, you know, nervous on the sidelines. I mean, there's 17,000 people down on the field,
yeah,
so I don't get as close during the Super Bowl as I normally would. Normally, I can just stand close to guys, hear conversations. Couldn't do that as much during the Super Bowl, but I never felt that way. And even when they had to punt, it kind of felt like, all right, we'll get the stop, and we're going to go out and win this football game. I think just physical exhaustion kicked in for a lot of guys. One of the things that was overlooked, and I don't know how much it was talked about during the Super Bowl broadcast, but I saw it playing out, especially on the defensive line. They were down two guys that would have been in the rotation. Adrian Claiborne tore his bicep in the NFC title game. Derek Shelby had torn his Achilles, you know what, week four or week five. Those are two guys they really could have used to continue to try and get pressure on Brady in the fourth quarter. Without them being there, you're going with Joe Volano, a guy who was a practice squatter. It just was tough to generate that pass rush as the game wore on.
Well, John, as we started the interview, we've had a couple of really tough losses and really a tough decade here in Sacramento. We got a lot of upset Kings fans today, and we completely understand that. That being said, it's nothing compared to what you and that fan base are going to be dealing with, not just today, but for a long time to come. Good luck with that. And we certainly understand, at least a little bit, because we've never gotten that far, but we understand what you're going through.
You guys were close because you got robbed by an official. You were better than the Lakers back in, 2001?
2002,
I was cheering for anybody but Kobe, so I know how you felt with that one. But, yeah, that's going to be tough. But, again, it'll give us content for the next 6 months.
So. Yes, it will. John, great meeting you last week. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.